It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk about the changing ways people use the internet and why nearly one in five Americans don't go online.
First, though, the unemployment gap in the United States is the widest on record.
Usually when we talk about unemployment, it's that one number. We take the whole population. But when our next guest broke it down by income bracket, he saw some big differences.
Those in the higher income brackets are at almost full employment, while those at the lower end are experiencing unemployment at rates equal to the Great Depression.
Ishwar Kadiwada co-authored this study. An update of it was released today. He's here with us now. Ishwar is an economist at the Center for Labor Market Studies at Northeastern University. Ishwar, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So how bad is unemployment for people at the lower end of the income scale?
It is seriously bad. The unemployment rate for low-income American families exceeds 21%, which is equivalent to the unemployment rate of all workers during the Great Recession of the 30s. So at the other end, unemployment rate for workers from affluent families hovers around 3%. This means one part of America is in full employment and another part of America is in serious depression.
So
even the middle-income workers are not faring well. Their employment is down, their unemployment rate is all-time high, and their wages are down.
And that's part of the story as I read your work. Some of the middle-class workers, a lot of them are unemployed, but also a lot of them are getting the jobs that the people at the lower end would have gotten, so they're being kind of bumped out of work.
Absolutely. The economy began to recover in the second quarter of 2009, and we have created more than 6 million jobs so far. But we have created more like jobs in the lower end than in upper end. So there is a crowding out effect in the labor market. There is no growth in middle-skilled jobs, and there is no substantial overall job creation. As a result, jobs that traditionally employ young and college-educated workers are being taken by other groups, for example, college-educated workers. And that's why low-income and young people are pushed, left behind this recovery.
So we talk about this as an economic recovery, and by some standards it is, but I guess when you're looking at from this perspective, is it fair to call it a recovery when you're looking at it for low-income workers?
It's not a recovery for low-income workers, definitely not.
What's gone? What is missing? What kind of jobs went away?
We have a lot of these traditional jobs, manufacturing jobs. They are historically low. They have not recovered. Jobs in utilities, transportation that typically employs these workers are gone. That's why there's a massive surplus of these workers in the labor market.
And there's been a lot of attention to things like job training, the workers you're talking about, the ones without a college education, don't have skills in today's workplace. Even if they got that skills training, even if they got matched up to the jobs, are there enough jobs out there to accommodate them?
No, there are not enough jobs to accommodate them in recent years, because we have, besides this unemployment problem, there's a massive increase in underemployment and hidden unemployment problems. There are more than 8 million workers who want full-time support jobs, but are working part-time for economic reasons because no full-time jobs are available to them. There's another group we call underemployed workers. There are more than 6 million of these workers who want jobs if offered but are not active in the labor force. They have given up job search because they think that no jobs are available to them. We call this group hidden unemployed. So if we combine these three groups, unemployed, underemployed, and hidden employed, we come up with a number just under 27 million people. With these three problems, that accounts for 16% of the labor force. And we call this labor force underutilization problem. And it's more than two times higher than the official unemployment rate.
That official unemployment rate, that's the one that makes headlines each month. We look at that rate, the numbers released by the federal government. You're saying when we consider those unemployed people, the people who stop looking for jobs and the people who are underemployed, it's more than double, really, what the usual rate is.
Absolutely.
Is that number a misleading number, that when it comes out in the 7-8% range?
I don't call it misleading, but if we include those underemployed and hidden employed, yeah, this number, the official unemployment numbers could be misleading. But Rob, labor force underutilization rates varied by family income level, okay? Low-income workers had the labor underutilization rate of nearly 40%.
40%.
Absolutely. Compared to 7% for workers from the affluent families. And the labor force underutilization problems for low-income African-American is the worst. Nearly half of the workers from low-income African-American families are underutilized compared to underutilization rate of 37 to 38% for the same group of workers in white and Hispanic families. So these rates are more than two times higher than the rates that prevailed prior to the Great Recession. So the labor market underutilization problems for workers in affluent families in all of these major groups typically runs to 7 to 11%.
How did these numbers look before the Great Recession? Were they close to where we are now as far as the inequality that you're talking about?
They were pretty low. Since the Great Recession, these numbers have like doubled.
And do you see this turning around anytime soon?
Actually, these labor market problems for especially America's low-income workers, they won't go away unless we create enough jobs to absorb this massive existing labor surplus. With the current job creation, these problems will linger for a long time, and it will create a long, you know, very unequal society.
I know you're an analysis guy, not necessarily a policy guy, but do you think that there are policies that the government should be undertaking to try to close this gap?
Absolutely, absolutely. For example, we can create a tax incentive program for employers to hire low-income workers. Evidence so that it has worked in the past. And also, we need to invest more in job training programs. We need to reinstate summer and year-round employment programs for low-income youth. Evidence so that, you know, employment is path-dependent. The more youth work today, the more likely they'll be working tomorrow and earn more.
And you've done a lot of work in the past on teen and younger workers. What's the situation looking like for them after the Great Recession?
Their labor market condition is the worst since the Great Depression. We have, for youth like teen workers, you have an underutilization rate of nearly 50 to 60%. So teens want jobs, but they're not getting jobs. Their EP ratio is the lowest historically. In this summer, only 27% of teens worked. In 89, 90, nearly 55 to 60% of teens used to work. So their employment situation had deteriorated so much.
Ishwar, thanks a lot for joining us and sharing these numbers with us.
Thank you.
That was Ishwar Kadiwada. He's an economist at the Center for Labor Market Studies at Northeastern University, co-author of the study we've been talking about published by the AP.
And next, we'll look at why 1 in 5 Americans don't use the Internet. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.